Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyairam.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe receives $35.2 million from the West to assist in the rehabilitation of power, water and sanitation facilities in several municipalities countrywide.
Our infrastructure depreciated immensely during the economic decline period. Resultantly, we experienced the cholera outbreak in 2008 and also significant power shortages.
Female lawmakers are demanding the expansion to rural communities of the program that provided them with free cervical cancer screening at Parliament this week.
And Harare Town Clerk Tendai Mahachi faces contempt of parliament charges for repeatedly disrespecting the Parliamentary Local Government Portfolio Committee over the city's salary schedule.
The Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Local Government, led by Mutasa South lawmaker and ZANU-PF member Irene Zindi, is said to be considering charging Harare Town Clerk Tendai Mahachi with contempt of Parliament for repeatedly allegedly frustrating the committee's efforts to verify the salary structure for top executives at the local authority. Twice the committee demanded Mahachi's payslip to verify reports that he was earning too much money and also getting an entertainment allowance, yet council was paying separately for most of his guests entertained at his residence. The committee also wants to probe the alleged huge allowances that the council is paying to a few managers at the local authority when workers have gone for months without pay and service delivery plummeting on the other hand. Lawyer Tawanda Juarara of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says Parliament has the powers to charge uncooperative people like Mahachi.
Contempt of Parliament is a procedure whereby Parliament marks its displeasure by actually bringing somebody before a hearing and charging him with an offense of being either contemptuous or violating the parliamentary procedures. In this particular case, Parliament is saying that it is entitled to question and bring an individual to actually give them information. And if that person refuses to give them that particular information, they can be charged with contempt of Parliament. There are neither civil nor criminal proceedings. Our Supreme Court has said that contempt of Parliament or Parliament sitting as a court is a court in its own right and is allowed to do that to a person who has actually violated their procedures or refused to comply with their orders.
But Mr. Mahachi in this case is saying that he has given the information that Parliament is demanding to the office of the President.
That is not enough. Mahachi needs to understand the concept of separation of power. Parliament can actually, in its own right, request certain information from citizens which it believes is necessary for them to make decisions or policy considerations or acts of Parliament. What it needs in this situation is for Mahachi to understand the concept of separation of powers and that Parliament has the right to request that information in its own right. And him having given that salary schedule to the president or a minister or alternatively the judiciary is not enough and does not satisfy the requirement that Parliament has placed before. What also people need to understand is that his compliance has been defective. He has been asked to give the salary that he and other individuals were earning before his salary was slashed. That information is there. He had that schedule, and that is what he needs to provide Parliament in order to satisfy the parliamentary request.
That was Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights member Tawanda Zhuwarara in Harare. Meanwhile, Cabinet yesterday capped salaries for top managers at government firms and parastatals to $6,000 following the salary gate scandal. For analysis, Blessing Zulu turned to Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions.
Oh, these are newspaper stories. There are a lot of, legalities to be followed if you need to deal with other people's contracts. I think that's our first reaction. Why list the idea is good, but the story itself, I think, is lacking a lot of clarity. How are they going to do that? Is it going to apply to new entrants? Because there are people sitting in those positions there, some of them properly acquired those perks through negotiations, and they do have contracts. Contracts who are going to last for years. So I think the government might have an intention, but I think they are putting the cart before the horse. By merely going to the press and announce these things without telling us whether they are going to put a legislation to that effect.
How best can the gap be addressed that you are talking about between the managers and the shop floor workers?
The people at the lower level, obviously, they do have a collective bargaining arrangement. The people at the highest level also, when they get these contracts, they are given by either boards. And I think that's where the game is not properly played. Because those people who manage to negotiate those conditions of employment don't look at the bigger picture. For instance, the size of our economy. Can our economy carry this? Are the companies or the parastatals themselves liquid enough to carry that cost? It will appear like all these things are not put into picture when these people are given contracts.
That was Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions speaking with Blessing Zulu. Blessing also spoke with Munyara Dzigwisai of the International Socialist Organization on the cabinet decision to curb the salaries for senior executives within government, parastatals and firms.
Generally, you should take it in the context of the new constitution. The new constitution provides values and principles that govern the administration of the state and local authorities and companies which are controlled and owned by the state, sections 194 to 196. And one of the values is that there must be economic, efficient use of national resources. And clearly, when you have a CEO who earns $500,000, $30,000, $40,000, when they are failing to provide services, when they are failing to provide water, when they are failing to provide their workers their wages, then it clearly would be unconstitutional. If it was obviously in the normal common thing, an employer's salary may not be unilaterally reduced by an employer, but these are public employees, and their salaries normally should be approved by the Minister of Finance once their board has given them. From what it appears, it seems that those kind of processes were not done. This was a connivance between thieving board members and thieving parastatal bosses without the necessary approval.
What about in those instances where the proper channels in negotiating salaries were followed?
Where, of course, the approval was given by the minister, then you cannot remove it unilaterally like that.
That was Munyara Dzigwisai of the International Socialist Organization speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare.